ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। हरे कृष्ण। सो टुडे इज आवर थर्ड एंड फाइनल डे इन द थ्री डे सेमिनार ऑन यमुना, गॉडेस यमुना हु फ्लोज एज रिवर थ्रू ब्रजमंडल। ऑन द फर्स्ट डे वी डिस्कस्ड द ग्लोरीज ऑफ मदर यमुना। She is considered even more sanctified and glorious than the Ganga. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revered her. In fact, so deep was his Vrindavan consciousness that whenever he saw any body of water, he immediately thought of Yamuna and often even jumped into those waters. Yesterday we spoke about the identity of Yamuna Devi in the spiritual world. She is none other than Vishakha Devi. Vishakha Devi has expanded as Viraja Devi, who has in turn manifested as Yamuna Devi. The origin of Yamuna in the spiritual world was described, and then how Yamuna flows from Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world through the Vaikuntha world down into the material universe, eventually coming down to the Himalayas, the Kalinda mountain to be specific, and then she flows down from there into the plains, enters into the sea in the southern side, and then goes back to Goloka Vrindavan, while Ganga continues downwards to Patala Loka. So we also saw some other pastimes related to her personality. She also manifests as the daughter of the sun god Vivasvan. And because she was so firm in her resolve to marry only Krishna, she wanted to perform austerities for this purpose, so her father Vivasvan built her a wonderful palace within her waters. Eventually, when Krishna and Balaram and Arjun were sporting on the banks of the Yamuna, they spotted Kalindi, and eventually Krishna took her back to Dwarka and married her. Today we will be speaking about the various holy places, specifically the ghats on the banks of the Yamuna, especially in relation to Vrajamandala. On the first day we discussed that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrajabhumi, he took bath in all the 24 kunds, or the ghats actually, which are on the banks of the Yamuna. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada actually lists out these 24 ghats. And just for the sake of completeness, since Srila Prabhupada has taken the trouble to actually list them all out, why don't we also just hear the names of these 24 ghats? As since they are connected so deeply to Krishna, simply hearing their names will also be very purifying for us. So the ghats are named as follows in order that Prabhupada names them: Avimukta, Adhirudha, Guhya Tirtha, Prayag Tirtha, which is different from the Prayag that is further down south, Kanakhala Tirtha, Tinduka, Surya Tirtha, Vataswami, Dhruva Ghat, Rishi Tirtha, Moksha Tirtha, Bodh Tirth, Gokarna, Krishna Ganga, Vaikuntha, Asikund, Chatu Samudrika Koop, Akrur Tirth, Yajnika, Viprasthana, Kubja Koop, रंगस्थल मंचस्थल मलयुद्ध स्थान दशाश्वमेध. So this is how Prabhupada lists out the 24 famous ghats on the banks of the Yamuna. And there are many other ghats, many other places, pastime places. So today we will try to list out a few of these important pastime places in relation to the ghats on the bank of the Yamuna. And as the Yamuna coming down from Kalinda mountain, flowing past the Khandava forest which is near to Kurukshetra, and then via Indraprastha which is near Delhi, and then coming down into Brajamandal, the first ghat that we see in Brajamandal as far as Yamuna is concerned is up in the north of Brajamandal near a place called Shergad. And this is actually Ram Ghat. Ram Ghat is well known. We know in the famous Jai Radhe Jai Krishna Jai Vrindavan verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has sung, Jai Ram Ghat Jai Rohini Nandan Jai Jai Vrindavan Vasi Yata Jan. So he mentions this Ghat, Ram Ghat. Ram here of course refers to Balaram, not to Lord Ramachandra. The present name of this place is Obe or Uve. And it is said that Balaram performed a Rasa Leela here in the full moon night of spring, of the spring season. Ram Ghat is different from the site of Krishna's Rasa Leela, and we'll come to that in a moment. So when Krishna and Balaram had left Vrindavan and a long time had passed, the residents of Vrindavan were feeling very, very great separation from Krishna in particular. So Krishna dispatched Balaram with the request that he go there and pacify the feelings of separation of the Vrajavasis. So Balaram came in the months of Chaitra and Vaishak. He came here, he spent these 2 months with the residents of Vrindavan. He was very surprised to see the intensity of the separation of the Vrajavasis from Krishna. And he tried his best to pacify them. He was not fully successful because nothing else would satisfy the Vrajavasis except Krishna himself coming down. In any case, Balaram stayed here. And at this particular place, Ram Ghat, he performed Rasa Leela. Now the question may be asked that how is it that Balaram performed Rasa Leela? Isn't that only something that Krishna does? And then if Balaram dances with the gopis, are these the gopis the same as Krishna's gopis? It sounds very strange. So the acharyas have commented upon this and clarified it and mentioned that the gopis with whom Balaram dances Rasa Leela are completely different from the gopis who dance with Krishna in Rasa Leela. So this is a very important point. They are different sects of gopis. And therefore Ram Ghat is quite far from the place where Krishna performs his Rasa Leela here in Vrindavan. Ram Ghat is way up in the north of Rajamandal, whereas this is here, the Vanshivat and the place of Krishna's Rasa Leela. And then as he continued to enjoy his pastimes with the gopis there, Varuna, the demigod Varuna, he manifested his potency, and his daughter Varuni, who emerges in the form of a beverage which is somewhat intoxicating and a favorite of Lord Balaram, she appeared from the hollows of the trees And this served as a very nectarian beverage for Balaram and his associates. And when Balaram partook of this, then he, in a mood of ecstatic enjoyment, apparently intoxicated, he called out to Yamuna to come. At that time, Ramghat was somewhat distant from Yamuna. So when Yamuna heard this, she thought, well, here is somebody who is intoxicated and is calling out in his intoxicated condition. I should not go. Then Balaram became annoyed. And with his plow, he scratched the ground. And the Yamuna was split up into many, many different streams and she was pulled. And as the waters of this Yamuna came rushing towards, and Yamuna personified appeared before Balaram and begged forgiveness. This is called the Yamuna Karshana Leela, which is described in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Also in previous cantos, especially the first canto, Srila Prabhupada also comments about this Yamuna Karshana Leela at some length. So the Yamuna came and she begged forgiveness from Balaram. Balaram forgave her. And then Balaram continued his Rasalila with his batch of gopis. And therefore we see that there are many small streams into which the Yamuna was made as a result of Balaram's plowshare. The question may be asked again, that if Yamuna is none other than Vishakha Devi, who is such an intimate associate of Srimati Radharani, and this group of gopis is not involved with Balaram in any pastimes, so how is it that Balaram actually pulled Yamuna and she was obliged to appear before him in person? So Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explain that it was not actually Vishakha or Yamuna who actually appeared in personified form before Balaram. Rather, it was an expansion of Yamuna Devi who appeared. And in this way, this particular contradiction is somewhat resolved. And near this spot, there is also a temple of Lord Balaram. And there is an Ashwatha tree, a banyan tree, that is known to be a sakha or a friend of Balaram. And it is said that the Rasa Leela of Balaram took place over here. In the Dashavatara Stotra of Srila Jayadev Goswami, he has also mentioned this Yamuna Karshana Leela, which happened at Ramghat.
Vahasiva Pushe Vishadeva Sananjaladabham Halahati Bhiti Milita Yamunabham Keshavadrita Haladhara Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare.
So Jayadev Goswami has mentioned, he has prayed, O Keshava, O Hari, who have now assumed the form of Lord Balaram, who is also known as Haladhar, the carrier of the plow. All glories to you. On your brilliant white body, you wear garments which are of the color of the fresh rain cloud. Yes, this is important because Krishna wears clothes, his dhoti is of the color of gold or fresh or lightning. Whereas Balaram's clothes are blue, like the fresh rain cloud. And then Jayadev Goswami says that these garments are colored like the beautiful dark hue of the river Yamuna, which feels great fear due to the striking of your plow. So because the Yamuna is also darkish in complexion, so Jayadev Goswami has used this analogy to compare the color of Balaram's clothes with the color of Yamuna's waters. So it is said that Nityananda Prabhu also came here and during his tour of Brajamandal, and he became absorbed in bhava here at this place at Ram Ghat. And then as we come down, then there is Chir Ghat. Now there are two places popularly known as Chir Ghat. Chir refers to the clothes. There is one Chir Ghat which is here in Vrindavan. We'll come to that a little later. But the actual Chir Ghat is up north. This is where Krishna performed the famous pastime and much misunderstood pastime of the stealing of the clothes of the young gopis. Seated on a tree, he called them out. We have all heard this pastime many times. So Krishna performed this pastime merely to fulfill the desires of these gopis. Of course, both Krishna and the gopis were very young at that time. And the gopis had always cherished a desire to have Lord Krishna as their husband. So they would pray to Katyayani Devi, who is a form of Durga Devi, that please give us Lord Krishna as our husband. And because they prayed for having Krishna as a husband, Krishna fulfilled their desire in this particular way. So this is a very, very intricate pastime of deep significance. And this was performed at Chir Ghat, which is in a village called Syaro, which is up north, and not in the Chir Ghat that is here in Vrindavan. This pastime of the stealing of the gopis' clothes did not take place in this Chir Ghat, but in the Chir Ghat, which is up north near Syaro. About half a mile from there, we find a place called Tapovan, where the gopis, they performed the Katyayani Vrata. They fasted and they did other austerities to please Katyayani Devi to get Krishna as their husband. Nearby to Chir Ghat is also a temple of Katyayani Devi. So these are all the pastimes that have occurred on the banks of the Yamuna. And the idea in narrating these is to indicate that Yamuna Devi was not just a passive spectator to Krishna's very intimate pastimes in Vrindavan. Rather, she was an active participant. And she played a very important role in facilitating and nourishing these very intimate Vrindavan pastimes. And then as we come down, we come to a place called Nanda Ghat. Nanda Ghat is also about 3 miles from Chir Ghat. It is here that the servants of Varuna arrested Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj had gone for a bath one day after Ekadashi, that is in the Dwadashi, and it was very, very early. Technically speaking, it was too early to go for a bath. And the servants of Varuna, not realizing the exalted position of Nanda Maharaj, they arrested him because of this technical mistake. And they took him to the abode of Lord Varuna, under the water. Krishna, of course, immediately understood. And he dived into the water and went to Varuna's kingdom. Varuna was very, very astonished and at the same time very happy to see Krishna having arrived at his capital. He welcomed him and glorified Krishna and Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj was watching all this in great amazement. Here was his little boy who was being glorified by none other than the great demigod Varuna. Nanda Maharaj and the other Brajavasis were very simple village folk in their leela. They are, of course, the most exalted devotees in all of existence. But they are playing the role of very simple cowherd people. So Nanda Maharaj was looking at this and he was awestruck. My little boy is being worshipped and glorified by Varuna. And he was also very astonished to see the opulence of Varuna's palace and his capital. So then, after praising Krishna and showering many gifts upon him, Varuna Deva requested Krishna to take Nanda Maharaj back. When Nanda Maharaj came back, he recounted to the Brajavasis all that had happened. And the Brajavasis were now really astonished. And they said, really? You actually went to Varuna's capital and you saw what was it like? And Nanda Maharaj described all the opulence. And then he also described how Varuna had glorified Krishna and worshipped him actually. And the Brajavasis, they started in their innocence, in their innocent devotion, thinking, when will Krishna show us his Goloka Vrindavan? And Krishna indeed did do that. After some time, he took them to Akrur Ghat. And we'll talk about this pastime when we come to Akrur Ghat. And it was there that he actually showed them not just the Vaikuntha planets, but also his own Goloka Vrindavan planet. So in any case, the pastime of Nanda Maharaj being arrested happened here at Nanda Ghat. It is also said that Jiva Goswami lived here in a large crocodile hole because he had been rebuked or admonished by his guru, Rupa Goswami, when he had committed an act that Rupa Goswami felt was not right. It was a transgression of the law of humility. And Rupa Goswami had told him, we will not go into that pastime because it will take too much time. But Jiva Goswami had not made a mistake. He had simply wanted to protect the honor of Rupa Goswami. He had not wanted to do anything for his own prestige or fame and name. But somehow Rupa Goswami wanted to send the message to the whole world that Vrindavan is a place only for those who are very, very much devoted in a mood of humble service. The humble service attitude is in devotion, is the most important characteristic of the residents of Vrindavan. Any trace of pride or arrogance or a desire for name, fame, prestige and so on is not tolerated by the Supreme Lord and Srimati Radharani in Vrindavan. So in any case, Jiva Goswami, being humble, did not even protest when Rupa Goswami had accused him like that. And he went away because Rupa Goswami said, you are not qualified to live in Vrindavan. So he went to Nanda Ghat and tried to perform austerities there in a large crocodile hole. Finally, Sanatan Goswami went searching for him all over Braj. And at one place when he was inquiring, the local villagers told him, we don't know about Jiva, but we know that there is one Babaji who stays here in a crocodile hole and all day he simply cries. And so Jiva and Sanatan Goswami understood that this can only be Jiva Goswami. And he just takes a little bit of, he used to eat so austerely, just some chickpea flour with some Yamuna water, and that is how he used to survive. And then Sanatan Goswami went there and brought Jiva Goswami back to Rupa Goswami. It is said also that it was while Jiva Goswami was residing here at Nanda Ghat that he compiled his famous Shat Sandarbhas, his magnum opus, 6 books, the Shat Sandarbhas, which are very, very famous. So these pastimes happened here at Nanda Ghat. And then as the Yamuna enters Vrindavan, we see that the Yamuna has changed course quite a bit. Many of the ghats that are here, like for example, the Kaliya Ghat, when we go there, we will see that the ghat exists, but the Yamuna doesn't flow there. The Yamuna flows quite a distance away. So we can understand that 5,000 years ago, during Krishna's presence here, the Yamuna was flowing very close, in fact touching these ghats, but now has deviated course. At the same time, many, many faithful devotees come to these places which were formerly ghats. Ghat means a bank which is especially carved out with steps so that pilgrims can descend into the river. And many pilgrims come and they smear the dust of that place onto their bodies. And they are not deprived of the benefit of actually bathing in the Yamuna. It is as though the Yamuna was passing by there. The same benefit can be obtained. So anyway, as we enter into Yamuna, then the first ghat of Vrindavan actually is the Varaha ghat. And it is here that Krishna actually showed his form as Varaha Dev to the gopis. And it is also said that the sage Gautama performed his austerities over here. Then further down is a ghat called the Mohan Ter ghat. And this is where when Krishna, or Kamadev or Cupid, tried to shoot his arrows of lust. Kamadev carries bows and arrows. And he shoots his arrows at everybody in this world to make them victims of lust. Because that is actually the job of Kamadev, to keep everybody subdued under the grips of lust. So he tried to do this with Krishna. But how can that work with Krishna? Krishna, being completely transcendental, was not at all affected. On the contrary, it was Kamadev who himself became affected by kama or lust. And therefore Lord Krishna is called as Madan Mohan, one who bewilders even Madan. Another name of Cupid or Kamadev is Madan. Then further down we come to Goghat. It is said that in this place, I am selecting only a few of the places, there are many, many more. And even in normal Vrindavan Parikrama, you must be crossing some of them. But probably we don't actually hear about these ghats at these places so much. At Goghat, it is said that Nanda Maharaj would give cows in charity profusely. And it is said that if one takes bath over here and one serves the cows, then one can enter Goloka Vrindavan. So it's a very, very nice place, and today is Gopashtami. So nice day to hear about the Goghat. And you will be very, very happy to know the location of Goghat. Can anyone say where is Goghat? Yes, opposite our Bhaktivedanta Swami Goshala, our ISKCON temple Goshala, where we were all this morning for the Gopashtami program. So that area nearby is called Goghat. So just see, so if you go to our Bhaktivedanta Swami Goshala and serve the cows, then you will be able to enter Goloka Vrindavan. So quite an incentive now. You can go, because the Puranas say, anyone who goes there and serves the cows will be able to enter Goloka Vrindavan. This is something that actually should be announced more so that the devotee community knows about this, that the place at which our Goshala, ISKCON Goshala is located, is actually a very important place. And just see the Lord's arrangement. It is not that our temple was located at the Goghat, but our Goshala is located at the Goghat. So certainly every time that you visit Vrindavan and Krishna Balaram Mandir, please ensure that you also often visit the Bhaktivedanta Swami Goshala. And then further down there is the Kaliya Ghat. This was the place at which Sri Krishna subdued and chastised the great fierce demon Kaliya. Of course, we have all heard this pastime again many times, so I will not repeat the whole pastime here. But suffice it to say that he bestowed unlimited mercy upon Kaliya, something that his wives, the Naga Patnis, were very bewildered about. Normally a snake's body is obtained by somebody who was very sinful and envious in the previous life. A snake by nature is very envious and may bite and poison somebody who is faultless for no reason. This snake may do that. So an envious person is also like that. He will harm people unnecessarily. So when we see a snake, we can understand that by karma, must have performed some very terrible acts in the previous human form of life. So now, the wives of Kaliya were bewildered. To get Lord Krishna's lotus feet upon one's head, to have Krishna's lotus footprints imprinted upon one's head, to get the dust of Krishna's lotus feet on one's head, is something that is indicative of extraordinary great fortune. So how is it that Kaliya has got this? It seemed like such a big contradiction. In any case, the Naga Patnis came forward, they offered their prayers to Krishna here, and then Kaliya also came forward and surrendered to Krishna. And only those people in Vrindavan will get the benefit of hearing all these pastimes, and not those whose mobile phones ring in the class. They will be deprived of this benefit. They will not get. On the contrary, they will have to pay some extra austerities to overcome this. So in any case, so all these wonderful pastimes took place here. Kaliya surrendered and then he was sent out by Krishna and he went to Fiji in the Pacific Ocean. Also we see here there is a Samadhi temple of Prabodhananda Saraswati, the great Vaishnava in our Sampradaya, who was the uncle, the paternal uncle of Gopala Bhatta Goswami. And then there is also the Surya Ghat, which is also called the Prakash Ananda Tirtha. It is said that the sun god came here to perform austerities. And there is a hill here which is called the Dwadash Aditya Tila. Those of you who have gone on Vrindavan Parikrama, this is usually the first place we go to, the Madan Mohan Temple. And then you go on top of the hill. It is said that after Krishna had subdued Kaliya, he had been in the water for quite some time and his body was feeling cold. So he came up here on the top of this hill and the 12 sun gods came in full strength to dry up Krishna's body. So therefore it is called Dwadashi Aditya Tila, to dry up Krishna. There is also, of course, Sanatan Goswami's Bhajan Kutir here, and a little lower down is his Samadhi. And today the old temple of Madan Mohan also stands there. The new temple of Madan Mohan is a little distance away. So this is Surya Ghat. I am not describing these pastimes in details. When we go to Madan Mohan temple, so each time we hear all these pastimes that happened there in great detail. And then there is an important ghat that we come down to. That is called the Imli Tala Ghat. Why is this very important? In the Varaha Samhita, there is a narration of one pastime. That during the Rasa Leela, one time, Srimati Radharani left the Rasa Leela dance. And she went away somewhere. And Krishna became very morose. And he started searching for Srimati Radharani everywhere. Wandering here and there, he was unsuccessful in locating Srimati Radharani. Then he came to this spot called Imli Tala. Imli means tamarind. So Imli refers to the tamarind tree, Tala refers to below. So the place below the tamarind tree. So Krishna came here and he started chanting Srimati Radharani's names, feeling great separation from her. And as he was going on chanting Radharani's names, a very wonderful thing started happening. Krishna's darkish complexion started changing and it started becoming golden, which is the complexion of Srimati Radharani. And as he continued to chant Srimati Radharani's names, he was sitting there. At that time, Srimati Radharani arrived there along with some gopis. And she saw Krishna. But Krishna was in a golden complexion. So she looked at her gopis and said, "This is very astonishing. This person has a golden complexion, whereas our Krishna has a dark complexion, which is the complexion of a fresh monsoon cloud. But this is very much Krishna. It is certainly Krishna, even though his complexion has changed." So then Srimati Radharani approached Krishna and asked him for this, the reason behind this mysterious change of complexion. And then Sri Krishna explained the whole story of how he had been feeling separation. And then he started chanting her names. And as he began chanting with more and more fervor, gradually his body automatically started getting transformed. And his blackish complexion gave way to a golden complexion of Srimati Radharani. And not only that, not only was his complexion changed to Radharani's complexion, but even his mood, his bhava changed to that of Srimati Radharani's. And then he said that in Kali Yuga, I am going to descend in a form like this, where I will take on your complexion and your bhava, and I will relish this prema to my heart's content. Radha bhava dyuti suvalitam naumi Krishna swarupam. So Kaviraj Goswami has described that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is directly Krishna who has taken on the bhava. Bhava means the mood and also the kanti, the complexion of Srimati Radharani. So at this place 5,000 years ago, Krishna foretold his appearance as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 4,500 years after that incident. So this very wonderful pastime happened here. Then after narrating this, then a very happily Srimati Radharani and Krishna engaged in the Rasa Leela again. It is also at this spot that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and chanted his japa. When Mahaprabhu visited Vrajbhumi, he, as I mentioned earlier, traveled to all the different forests, bathed in the different ghats, and eventually he came to Akrur Ghat. And he was staying there because here in Imli Tala and or in other parts it was very crowded. So at Akrur Ghat also it started becoming crowded. So every day in the morning he would come all the way from Akrur Ghat to Imli Tala. And he would sit there under the tamarind tree and he would be absorbed in chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And in this way he would spend his morning, and then at noon he would come back to Akrur Tirtha, take bath, take his prasadam and so on. When he was sitting at Imli Tala, one Rajput called Krishnadas Rajput, who was a very sincere, faithful, pure Vaishnava, approached Mahaprabhu and said that, "I would like to be with you and serve you constantly." And mercifully Mahaprabhu accepted him in his association and took him back with him to Akrur Ghat. And even after Mahaprabhu left Vrindavan, Balabhadra Bhattacharya accompanied Mahaprabhu, and the Krishnadas Rajput also came with him. So Mahaprabhu would come here every day to Imli Tala. So it is very, very important. Now another very nice pastime that took place here is that Srimati Radharani was crowned as the queen of Vrindavan, Vrindavaneshwari here. We all know about the famous Govardhan Leela of Krishna. Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill to protect the residents of Vrindavan from the wrath of Indra, the king of heaven. And then after this incident, Indra became very ashamed and embarrassed and begged forgiveness from Krishna. And along with Surabhi and the other demigods like Brahma, a very royal abhishek or a bathing ceremony of Krishna was performed at Govind Kund. And when Krishna was coronated in this way as king, as Indra, soon after that, Purnamasi took the help of Vrinda Devi and she decided to crown Srimati Radharani as Vrindavaneshwari, as the queen of Vrindavan. At that ceremony, many of the wives of the demigods came from the heavenly planets. And also the holy rivers, they came in their personified form over here. Krishna also came here and he bowed his head in front of Srimati Radharani, acknowledging that she is actually the boss of Vrindavan. She is the queen of Vrindavan, Vrindavaneshwari. And it is said that Krishna drives out any person from Vrindavan who does not accept Srimati Radharani as the queen or the controller of Vrindavan. So this is the importance of Srimati Radharani in Vrindavan. So in Vrindavan, Radharani is more important than Krishna. And therefore Prabhupada explains in one place, everywhere you will see people saying Radhe Radhe. Even on the trees you will see Radhe Radhe. You will hardly see Krishna Krishna. You will mostly see Radhe Radhe. Of course, many places you will see the Hare Krishna Mahamantra also. So anyway, this act of coronation of Srimati Radharani happened here at the Imli Tala Ghat. Then there is another ghat which is called the Shringar Vat Ghat. It is said that Krishna at this spot decorated Srimati Radharani with tilak and jewelry and decorated the hair and so on. All these pastimes took place here. And when Nityananda Prabhu came here, he spent many days at Shringar Vat Ghat. Then we come to Chir Ghat, the Chir Ghat of Vrindavan, not the earlier Chir Ghat that was in the north of Brajamandal. So at this place called Chir Ghat, it is said that Krishna came here to rest after he had killed the Keshi demon. Now again, we have all read Krishna book and you all know the pastime of Krishna killing the demon Keshi, so we will not repeat it here. Keshi came in the form of a horse. He came running, jumping, making lots of horrible sounds, created a very fearful situation for the residents of Vrindavan. And Krishna simply stuck his lotus hands into the mouth of Keshi and choked him to death. So after Krishna had killed Keshi, then he came here to rest. He had, of course, that pastime took place at Keshi Ghat, but he came here to rest in at Chir Ghat. It is also said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and rested here. And once again we point out that this is not the place where the pastime of the stealing of the gopis' clothes by Krishna was done. Although you will find many people will say this, many local people may tell you, oh, this is the place where the clothes were stolen, but actually it is not so. Further down then is Bhramar Ghat. One time Srimati Radharani and Krishna were sitting on the bank of the Yamuna on this ghat and their transcendental fragrance was spreading to a long distance. And the bees, they like this fragrance of honey. So they go to all the flowers and take the nectar. So they were attracted by the fragrance and they came here in large numbers and were circumambulating Radha and Krishna. So this is called the Bhramar Ghat. Then is Keshi Ghat. Keshi Ghat is of course one of the very popular places in Vrindavan. I'm sure all of you have been there. This is a spot where it is said that Krishna actually killed the Keshi demon. And it is also said that bathing here at Keshi Ghat, one gets the benefit of bathing in all the holy places in the universe. Then there is a Dheer Samir Ghat, again along the banks of the Yamuna. Dheer means sober. Sober means slow. Samir means the wind. It is said that the wind started blowing very slowly and pleasantly to create a very, very pleasant and charming situation for Radha and Krishna to perform their pastimes. It is also here that the gopis laid out a nice cloth on the sandy banks of the Yamuna for Krishna to rest after he had performed the Rasa Leela dance. Then there is the Pani Ghat. And some interesting pastimes took place here. The gopis, they wanted to go to serve Durvasa Muni. Now, you know, the gopis were very dharmic, very devoted. They always wanted to serve sadhus. So, they heard Durvasa Muni, the great mystic yogi, the sadhu, has come here. So, they all came to the Yamuna. And at this point, Pani Ghat, they wanted to cross over. So they chanted one mantra, Krishna Nitya Brahmachari, that Krishna is an eternal Brahmachari. And then Yamuna parted ways and they walked through. So they were easily able to walk through. Now Krishna Nitya Brahmachari may seem very odd for somebody who doesn't understand, for one who dances Rasa Leela with thousands of gopis and so on, and so who steals the clothes of the gopis. He's called Nitya Brahmachari. And Yamuna acknowledged the truthfulness of this statement by parting her water so the gopis could cross. They were carrying lots of foodstuffs, delicious foodstuffs, which they had cooked to serve Durvasa Muni, because they knew that Durvasa Muni was a very powerful yogi and he could give powerful blessings. He could give powerful curses also. But they wanted to serve him nicely to get some blessings. So they carried many nice foodstuffs for him and fed him sumptuously. He ate and ate and ate whatever that all the gopis had brought. And he was so pleased that he blessed Srimati Radharani, that whatever you cook will be nectar. And anybody who eats what you cook will never suffer from any disease and will not become old. So when Mother Yashoda heard about this benediction, then she started engaging Srimati Radharani to cook for Krishna every day. So this was the blessing of Durvasa Muni. So now they had to cross back. They had to cross the Yamuna on the return journey to go back to their homes. So Durvasa Muni said, now you should chant, as true as it is that Krishna is an eternal Brahmachari, it is equally true that Durvasa Muni always fasts. He has just eaten sumptuous meals. So they went to the Yamuna and said the same thing. And then Yamuna parted ways and they went through the waters and reached home. Anyway, these pastimes happened here at Pani Ghat. After Pani Ghat, further on, then the Yamuna starts moving on to Mathura. At Raj Ghat, which is the next important ghat, we find that the boating pastimes took place here. The boating pastimes take place at many places. This is one of the places where it happened. Krishna disguised himself as a boatman. The gopis came to this Raj Ghat to cross over the Yamuna in the boat. And he said, okay, I am willing to take you. There is no other boatman here. But I must wash the feet of one of you. They said, this is a very ridiculous proposal. What kind of proposal is this? But they had to cross the river, so they had no choice. So they said, okay, which one of us will you choose? So he chose Srimati Radharani. And she backed off, but eventually she agreed. And then Krishna washed her lotus feet. He sprinkled the water upon his head and on Yamuna and on everybody else. Then they got into the boat and Krishna, who was a boatman, started rowing. The gopis did not know that this was Krishna. halfway down, he said, I'm feeling very hungry. And because of hunger, I'm so weak, I cannot row the boat. So whatever butter and sweets and milk you have to feed me. So they said, well, we are going to sell. Now if we give you everything, then what are we going to sell? He said, no, you have to sell, otherwise I am too weak. We'll have to stay here in the middle of the river. So this was blackmail, but there was no other way. So they gave all the foodstuffs they had, and Krishna ate everything and threw the empty pots into the river. And after eating such a heavy meal, his stomach bloated. And now he was so tired and sleepy, he just lay back to sleep. He said, I'm sorry, I have to take some rest before I can start rowing. Now the gopis were getting really anxious. So Srimati Radharani told the other gopis, just make sure that this person starts rowing. So they started shaking him. And when they were shaking him, then from his waist fell out his flute. And then they realized, oh, this is Krishna. So these pastimes happened here at Raj Ghat. And then there is Akrur Ghat, which is the border actually between Mathura and Vrindavan. The one pastime that took place here, I already mentioned, Krishna revealed the spiritual world to the residents of Vrindavan. The Goloka Vrindavan planet in the spiritual world. And they actually realized that this Vrindavan is the same in every respect as that Vrindavan. There is no difference at all. Then they gave up all desires of wanting to see Varuna's kingdom. Another famous incident that happened here, I mentioned two actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also stayed there at Akrur Ghat. And the third important thing that happened here was when Akrura was taking Krishna and Balaram from Vrindavan to Mathura, from Nandagram to Mathura, then they halted here. And when Akrura was taking bath in the Yamuna, he saw Krishna and Balaram transforming as Vishnu and Ananta Shesha. And he was very puzzled to see this. He came back to the chariot, he saw Krishna Balaram sitting in the chariot. He went back, he again saw them there. So this pastime happened over there. This has its own significance. But in detail, these pastimes are discussed when devotees go to Akrur Ghat for parikrama. So we will not discuss more in detail now. Then there is the Chakra Tirtha Ghat, which is said to be the residence of the Sudarshan Chakra. When Durvasa Muni came and threatened Ambarish Maharaj with the demon that he produced from his hair, then the Sudarshan Chakra destroyed the demon and chased Durvasa Muni. Eventually, Durvasa Muni had to beg forgiveness from Ambarish Maharaj, and then the Sudarshan Chakra withdrew and it rested at this place for the protection of Ambarish Maharaj. There is nearby the Ambarish Tila where Ambarish Maharaj waited 1 year for Durvasa Muni to come back before breaking his fast. So Chakra Tirtha is staying there. Not just for the protection of Ambarish Maharaj, but also to take shelter of Yamuna and of Mathura Mandal. And then there is a Navaghat. It is said in the Adi Varaha Puran that one time there was a big ceremony in which Krishna had crowned Prayag, present day Allahabad, the confluence of the Ganga, Saraswati and Yamuna, as Tirtharaj, as the king of the holy places. And there was a grand celebration, a festival, and all the other holy places were expected to come to offer their respects to their newly crowned king. But only Mathura did not come, Mathura Mandal did not come there. So Prayagraj became very angry and he came forward to Mathura to attack Mathura. And it is said that Krishna personally took the form of Dirgha Vishnu to defend Mathura. And of course, Prayag was defeated. He surrendered. And he came to Krishna and asked that, my dear Lord, I am puzzled. It is you who have appointed me as the king of all the holy places. And naturally, all the other holy places should come and attend this festival or celebration. and offer respects to someone whom you have appointed. And now you have come and taken the side of Mathura Mandal. So how do I understand this? So Krishna replied that it is true that you are the king of the holy places. But Mathura Mandal is not an ordinary holy place. Mathura is my home. Therefore it is not under the same category. You are not king of Mathura. Mathura Mandala. See, this goes to show how important Vraja Mandal is. Further, there is Vishram Ghat. This is actually the place where the Vraja Mandal Parikrama is supposed to begin. It is called Vishram Ghat because in the scriptures it is mentioned that the spirit souls, after wandering millions and millions of lifetimes through millions of species in forgetfulness of Krishna, when they come here to Vishram Ghat on the banks of the Yamuna in Vraja Mandal, then they can get shelter of Krishna and they can get relief from all their sufferings because they will take to devotional service and they will get rest from all the harassment from the three modes of material nature. The word Vishram means rest. So this is how the term Vishram Ghat has actually originated. It is also said that Lord Varaha rested here after killing Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, I beg your pardon. And Bhumi Devi, Mother Earth, also came here to thank Varahadev after this episode. And here, there is, it also Krishna came here to take bath after having killed Kamsa. There is a deity of Yamaraj and Yamuna here, and the temple is said to be 5,000 years old. Actually, at this place, on Yamadvitiya, which is popularly known as Bhaiya Dujya, where the sisters and brothers come together, there are celebrations, festival, the sisters offer their love to the brothers and the brothers offer their protection to the sisters. So this is a very popular custom in India. So it is said that Yamuna, she requested her brother that anyone who takes bath in my waters, please give them the benediction that they will become free from the cycle of birth and death. And this happened on her birthday. So Yamaraj wanted to please his sister on this day, and therefore he said, yes, certainly anybody who takes bath on this day, especially here in Vraja Mandal at this Vishram Ghat, he will definitely become free from the cycle of birth and death. So although taking bath in Yamuna anywhere is glorious, but particularly taking bath in Yamuna in Vraja Mandal is more glorious. And it is said that on this day of Yamadvitiya to take bath in Vishram Ghat is especially glorious. So therefore on this day thousands and thousands of people come to take bath here in which is the second day after Amavasya in the Kartik month. So just happened some time back. So this is the Vishram Ghat. There are other ghats also, but we are running out of time. I will just tell you about one ghat, which is the Kole Ghat. The Kole Ghat is an interesting ghat. When Krishna was born in Mathura, in the prison of Kamsa, immediately Vasudev took Krishna. He was carrying him in a little basket on his head and he went forward. He had to cross the Yamuna. So as he was wading into the Yamuna started becoming very anxious to touch the lotus feet of Krishna. So she started rising and rising and rising. And as Vasudeva was holding her, holding Krishna in the basket, he started lifting Krishna so that the water would not touch Krishna, so that he would not drown. Finally, the waters were rising to such a degree that it came up to the neck of Vasudev. And Vasudev was now holding baby Krishna up in the basket. And he was desperate now, as you can imagine. He is wanting to cross, and now the waters are rising rapidly because Yamuna is very eager to get the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna. And at that time, it is said in the local folklore, that Nanda Maharaj started saying, Koi le mere yaar ko, mere lal ko. Lal means my child. Koi le, somebody take, please somebody take my child. He was desperate because he was thinking that if I may drown, but what about my child? Koi le mere lal ko. So then the koi le. Then it is said, again the folklore says that Vajranath called this as Koile Ghat. Koile. Now it has become as Kole Ghat. Eventually the water receded. Of course, it is said that Krishna fell in. Prabhupada in the purport in first canto says that Krishna fell into the water, touched Yamuna, and as soon as he touched, then Yamuna's waters receded because she was now satisfied, and it gave a passage for Vasudev to pass through. So it is said that anyone who takes his bath at Kole Ghat, also a passageway will be created for him to cross over the ocean of material existence. So these are some pastimes. There is Brahmanda Ghat, there is Dhruva Ghat, there are many other ghats. Brahmanda Ghat of course is the place where Krishna ate dirt, and then Mother Yashoda asked him to open his mouth, and she saw the universal form within his mouth. So there are many, many other ghats along the bank of the Yamuna, and I have mentioned briefly only a few of them, or most of the important ones at least, to give an indication of how deeply involved Yamuna Devi is in the pastimes of Sri Krishna. And it is a little late, but I'm very keen that we should chant this one bhajan here. So I will request that somebody can please distribute this bhajan, half and half. And you may, from the lady's side, if somebody can come, please take one sheet amongst two or three devotees. That may not be enough for everybody. This is a Yamunashtakam. It is a song by Srila Rupa Goswami. The translation is quite long. It will take quite a bit of time to read it. So we will just chant this song by Rupa Goswami. It is called Sri Sri Yamunashtakam.
Bhraturantakasya pattane bhipatti harini prekshayati papinopi papa sindhu tarini. Bhraturantakasya pattane bhipatti harini prekshayati papinopi papa sindhu tarini. Niramadhuri bhirapya shesha chitta bandhini maam punatu sarvadara vinda bandhu nandini. Niramadhuri bhirapya shesha chitta bandhini maam punatu sarvadara vinda bandhu nandini. Harivaradharayabhimanditorukhandava Pundarika Mandalodya Danda Jali Tandava. Harivari Dharayabhimanditorukhandava Pundarika Mandalodya Danda Jali Tandava. S స్నాన కామ పామరోగ్ర పాప సంపద్ అంధిని మాం పునాతు సర్వదారవింద బంధు నందిని. స్నాన కామ పామరోగ్ర పాప సంపదంధిని మాం పునాతు సర్వదారవింద బంధు నందిని. శీకరాభిమృష్ట జంతు దుర్విపాకమర్దిని నందనందనాంతరంగ భక్తి పూరవర్ధిని. శీకరాభిమృష్ట జంతు దుర్విపాకమర్దిని నందనందనాంతరంగ భక్తి పూరవర్ధిని. తీర సంగమాభిలాషి మంగళానుబంధిని మాం పునాతు సర్వదారవింద బంధు నందిని. తీర సంగమాభిలాషి మంగళానుబంధిని మాం పునాతు సర్వదారవింద బంధు నందిని. ద్వీపచక్రవాల జుష్ట సప్త సింధు భేదిని శ్రీముకుంద నిర్మితోరు దివ్య కేలి వేదిని. ద్వీపచక్రవాల జుష్ట సప్త సింధు భేదిని శ్రీముకుంద నిర్మితోరు దివ్య కేలి వేదిని. కాంతి కందలీభిరింద్ర నీల వృంద నిందిని మాం పునాతు సర్వదారవింద బంధు నందిని. కాంతి కందలీభిరింద్ర నీల వృంద నిందిని మాం పునాతు సర్వదారవింద బంధు నందిని. మాథురేణ మండలేన చారుణాభిమండిత ప్రేమనద్ధ వైష్ణవాధ్వవర్ధనాయ పండిత. మాథురేణ మండలేన చారుణాభిమండిత ప్రేమనద్ధ వైష్ణవాధ్వవర్ధనాయ పండిత. ఊర్మిదోర్విలాస పద్మనాభ పాద వందిని మాం పునాతు సర్వదారవింద బంధు నందిని. ఊర్మిదోర్విలాస పద్మనాభ పాద వందిని మాం పునాతు సర్వదారవింద బంధు నందిని. రమ్య తీర రంభమాణ గోకదంబ భూషిత ದಿವ್ಯ ಗಂಧ ಭಾಕದಂಬ ಪುಷ್ಪರಾಜಿ ರೂಷಿತ ರಮ್ಯ ತೀರ ರಂಭಮಾಣ ಗೋಕದಂಬ ಭೂಷಿತ ದಿವ್ಯ ಗಂಧ ಭಾಕದಂಬ ಪುಷ್ಪರಾಜಿ ರೂಷಿತ ನಂದ ಸೂನು ಭಕ್ತ ಸಂಘ ಸಂಗಮಾಭಿನಂದಿನಿ ಮಾಂಪುನಾತು ಸರ್ವದಾರ ಬಂಧು ವೃಂದ ಬಂಧು ನಂದಿನಿ ನಂದ ಸೂನು ಭಕ್ತ ಸಂಘ ಸಂಗಮಾಭಿನಂದಿನಿ ಮಾಂಪುನಾತು ಸರ್ವದಾರ ವೃಂದ ಬಂಧು ನಂದಿನಿ ಫುಲ್ಲ ಪಕ್ಷ ಮಲ್ಲಿಕಾಕ್ಷ ಹಂಸ ಲಕ್ಷ ಕೂಜಿತ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿದ್ಧ ದೇವ ಸಿದ್ಧ ಕಿನ್ನರಾಲಿ ಪೂಜಿತ ಫುಲ್ಲ ಪಕ್ಷ ಮಲ್ಲಿಕಾಕ್ಷ ಹಂಸ ಲಕ್ಷ ಕೂಜಿತ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿದ್ಧ ದೇವ ಸಿದ್ಧ ಕಿನ್ನರಾಲಿ ಪೂಜಿತ ತೀರ ಗಂಧ ವಾಹ ಗಂಧ ಜನ್ಮ ಬಂಧ ರಂಧಿನಿ ಮಾಂಪುನಾತು ಸರ್ವದಾರ ವೃಂದ ಬಂಧು ನಂದಿನಿ ತೀರ ಗಂಧ ವಾಹ ಗಂಧ ಜನ್ಮ ಬಂಧ ರಂಧಿನಿ ಮಾಂಪುನಾತು ಸರ್ವದಾರ ವೃಂದ ಬಂಧು ನಂದಿನಿ ಚಿದ್ವಿಲಾಸ ವಾರಿಪೂರ ಭೂರ್ಭುವಃ ಸ್ವರಾಪಿನಿ ಕೀರ್ತಿತಾಪಿ ದುರ್ಮದೋರು ಪಾಪ ಮರ್ಮ ತಾಪಿನಿ ಚಿದ್ವಿಲಾಸ ವಾರಿಪೂರ ಭೂರ್ಭುವಃ ಸ್ವರಾಪಿನಿ ಕೀರ್ತಿತಾಪಿ ದುರ್ಮದೋರು ಪಾಪ ಮರ್ಮ ತಾಪಿನಿ ಬಲ್ಲವೇಂದ್ರ ನಂದನಾಂಗ ರಾಗ್ರಭಾಂಗ ಗಂಧಿನಿ ಮಾಂಪುನಾತು ಸರ್ವದಾರ ವೃಂದ ಬಂಧು ನಂದಿನಿ ಬಲ್ಲವೇಂದ್ರ ನಂದನಾಂಗ ರಾಗಭಂಗ ಗಂಧಿನಿ ಮಾಂಪುನಾತು ಸರ್ವದಾರ ವೃಂದ ಬಂಧು ನಂದಿನಿ ತುಷ್ಟ ಬುದ್ಧಿರಷ್ಟಕೇನ ನಿರ್ಮಲೋರ್ಮಿ ಚೇಷ್ಟಿತಾಂ ತ್ವಾಂ ಅನೇನ ಭಾನುಪುತ್ರಿ ಸರ್ವ ದೇವ ವೇಷ್ಟಿತಾಂ ತುಷ್ಟ ಬುದ್ಧಿರಷ್ಟಕೇನ ನಿರ್ಮಲೋರ್ಮಿ ಚೇಷ್ಟಿತಾಂ ತ್ವಾಂ ಅನೇನ ಭಾನುಪುತ್ರಿ ಸರ್ವ ದೇವ ವೇಷ್ಟಿತಾಂ ಯಸ್ತವೀತಿ ವರ್ಧಯಸ್ವ ಸರ್ವ ಪಾಪ ಮೋಚನೆ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಪೂರಮಸ್ಯ ದೇವಿ ಪುಂಡರೀಕ ಲೋಚನೆ यस्तवीति वर्धयस्व सर्व पाप मोचने भक्ति पूरमस्य देवी पुंडरीक लोचने। मां पुनातु सर्वदारविन्द बंधु नंदिनी, मां पुनातु सर्वदारविन्द बंधु नंदिनी, मां पुनातु सर्वदारविन्द बंधु नंदिनी।
I'll just explain the meaning of the last line. You just remember this last line. Rupa Goswami is praying to Yamuna Devi, Maam Punatu Sarvada. Please always purify me. Punatu means purify. Maam Punatu Sarvada, Arvind Bandhu Nandini. Arvind means the lotus, Bandhu means friend, Nandini means one who gives pleasure to. Particularly referring to the daughter. So the sun is said to be the friend of the lotus, because when the sun shines, then the lotus blooms. So another name for the sun is Aravinda Bandhu. So Rupa Goswami is praying to Yamuna to please always purify me. So we may also pray at the lotus feet of Goddess Yamuna in this way, Maam Punatu Sarvada Aravinda Bandhu Nandini. So with this we will conclude our discussion on the glories of the Yamuna. For the translation of this bhajan, you may look up the song books, the most songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas and so on. Very, very beautiful poem. You can read the translation in English also. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yamuna Maya ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.